Okay, well, my name is Catherine Walsh, and I am the Health Ministries Director for the Maritime Conference. I'm also a holistic health practitioner in Greater Lakeburn, New Brunswick. I do live blood, and as well as lifestyle helps. And I just, with the live blood, it's amazing because you know the quote where it says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made? Well, I see that in the live blood, and it's just wonderful. And it's also wonderful to be able to give hope to people. It's a blessing to be able to be in this field. Tara Liz Springer, there she is. Okay, she's a naturopath as well as a massage therapist, and she loves giving hope to her patients as well. And she loves sharing the word of God too when she's ministering to them through health. She's going to be presenting. She's actually tomorrow. So everyone be here tomorrow too. And then there is Daniel Saw. He's the SDA CC Health Ministries Coordinator. He's not here right now, but he's supposed to be coming in tomorrow. And he will be doing, he's a registered psychotherapist, and he's going to be helping us out. He has Wednesday's program, and then we kind of do something together on Thursday, and then Friday it's back to Tara, Liz, and I. Are we the apple of God's eye? Yes or no? Yes, we are. Okay. So if we are, can we assume that he wants the very best for us? Yes, we can. Okay. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 John 4:19, we read, we love, why? Because he first loved us. So yes, we are the apple of his eye, and he does want the very, very best for us. So I understand that this year's theme is to make the family of God bigger by collecting the harvest. But in order for us to be able to do this, we, the church, we must be ready. And health plays an important role in this, in collecting of this precious, precious grain. You know, we're told that the church is a hospital, right? So sick people come in, and they're supposed to get healed. However, I think we've been stuck in the idea of the hospital where people come in, and they just stay there. They don't grow, they don't heal. And we know, all of us know, this is all wrong. This is not what God wants. So we need to purpose in our heart to be a sanctuary where people who are injured come in, but while they're in our church, they heal. But we're not providing the healing that the nations need because we ourselves are sick. And I'm sorry if I'm going to step on somebody's toes. I don't mean to. This is a burden that the Lord has put on my heart, okay? And I'm not singling anybody else out. In fact, I'm pointing the finger at me. So if I say you instead of us, just remember that I am included in this. We focus and we focus and we focus on things that really don't move us ahead. In fact, paralysis sets in and we become numb to the things that should be invigorating to the soul, which is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus loves, he heals, and he saves. It's really quite simple, but we make it hard. So where does the health message fit in all of this? Well, in every aspect of healing, we find health. So let's not focus on the don'ts anymore. Let's try to see only the do's and why they are there for us. We have the 8 laws of health that lead us ever so beautifully to understand the importance of being well-balanced. And that's the key, balance. Without balance, we have nothing. So we really can replace balance with Jesus. If we don't have Jesus, we have absolutely nothing. The world does have a health message, but they also have nothing because Jesus is nowhere to be found in their message. It's all about what I can do for myself, not what Jesus did for me, what he's doing for me, and what he will do for me. And it's a shame because we want to fit in so badly with the world when we have been commissioned to remain separate. In Romans 12, verse 2, we read, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to trust in God and His plans for us. We need to be bold in a Christ-like way to share with others their need for Jesus in their life. And people need to see that we are human too. But by God's grace, we become superhuman. When people come to me for help, I like to share with them, when appropriate, what types of health issues that I have had. This puts them at ease and shows them that I do understand. I've been there because I'm human as well. But all the while, I'm praising God. I let them know that it was my loving Savior who carried me through. If you are tired of the same old in your church, you've come to the right place to learn how you personally can be a positive change for your group. Let's start healing so that when others come to our church, they will see people at different stages of restoration. And what will happen? They're going to desire to become a part of a family that truly wants to be restored. So how can this be accomplished? Only through the moving of the Holy Spirit and a willing heart can this be obtained. This week, we're going to be learning about how touch is an important way to provide healing that will grow God's family inside and out. We're also going to learn about how the state of our mental health is impacted by the chemical reactions that take place in the body and how this affects one's physical reactions and behaviors. When we understand how things work, we become more compassionate towards others. Personal tragedies are horrible, but if we can come out of a crisis with the intentions of sharing with others who have experienced similar pains, then we can heal even more and offer the chance of healing to others as well. We're also going to see the importance of why healthy families make healthy communities. And I really, really appreciate the Hamilton's presentation, even though I had to step out to get ready. Very good. It's so important that healthy families do make healthy communities and they make healthy churches. So we're going to see that and how the right appetite will reap beneficial rewards for the here and hereafter. Who is your master will be the final interesting topic that we will be covering as well. We will learn that having the right master can be a life-changing and saving experience. So for the remainder of this session, we'll be discussing why our health is not about us at all. It's about what God wants for us. It truly is. This is where we need to leave the worldly ideas of inner strength behind and focus on God's strength within. If we can all agree that we cannot do anything without the Lord, then we are ready to begin our restoration. Healing comes from God and Him alone. He is the life giver and sustainer. It's only through Him that we have life and that abundantly. He wants us to be content, to be grateful, thankful, and faithful. If we can be all of these, we will have a health that will reach into eternity. We might not overcome an illness, and we might die before Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. But when we have these attributes, the illness will not replace our identity, and that is, we are God's precious children. I can remember my sister saying before she passed away, "I wish people would understand that I'm not a cancer patient, but I'm a person living with cancer." Up until the very last minute, her last breath, she knew that her identity was not defined by her cancer. It was defined by the one she believed in and who loved her dearly. And this is what we need to focus on. There are so very many things that can take our mind off of Jesus and all that He has done for us. We need to remind ourselves constantly that our life is in Jesus and Him alone. "Whether I live or die," says Paul, "I am the Lord's." When and only when we truly understand what this means, we will be able to start a healing process that will have no end. When we see our absolute need of Jesus in our life, we will be on the road to recovery. When we realize that it's all about God and His beloved Son Jesus, then nothing, absolutely nothing, can destroy our health. So you might be saying to yourself right now that you have faithfully followed the 8 laws of health and you still got sick. And all I can say to this is, I'm truly, very truly sorry, but I do understand. So I'm going to give hopefully a short testimony here. I hope it won't be too lengthy. My husband and I, we were going to go and see our children and our little granddaughter. We just have a newbie. Well, she'll be one in September, but we haven't seen her very often, so she's still new. anyway, so we knew that COVID is very rampant and all this stuff, and so we do our best to be healthy, to follow the 8 laws of health, and we said, okay, we're going to really superize this, you know, supersize this. We're going to really focus on that, and plus prayer. And we believe that God was just going to deliver everything. He was going to keep all evils away. Well, we're leaving on a Tuesday, and my son calls on the Friday, and he says, Sophia, that's our little precious one, is sick. Oh, lovely. Okay, it's just a little child, but we know how when children are sick, everybody else gets sick. Okay, but no, we're praying, and we're supplementing, and we're doing the 8 laws of health, or we're practicing the 8 laws of health. Everything's good, no problem, nothing can touch us. Sunday rolls around, he calls, he says, I'm sick. And we're like, oh, good. Is Rachel sick? That's his wife. And he says, no, not yet. So we're like, okay, what do we do, Lord? What do we do? Okay, let's step out in faith. You're going to take care of us. So Tuesday rolls around, and we figured, well, you know what? My husband goes, we'll just rent a hotel. Just for a couple of days so that he has a chance to get it out of his system so that when we arrive there, he'll be well. So we do. We go there on the Tuesday. Thursday rolls around, and we touch base with our son. He says, guess what? I'm feeling better, but Rachel's sick. So we're like, okay, Lauren, nope. We're just going to keep moving forward because we have the full armor of God on us. We're just moving forward. Okay, so we go. Friday rolls around. She tests positive for COVID. So we're like, woohoo, okay, no problem. We're healthy. We're fine. You know, we've been praying. Sunday rolls around. I get sick. Sunday evening, I think my husband gets sick, or Monday, whatever. So we're like, okay. But to make a long story short, we couldn't do what we wanted to do, but we were with our family, and God did take care of us, because being the age that we are, it can be a little bit more severe. You know, instead of for the younger ones who just get over it quickly. It wasn't severe. It was annoying, but it wasn't severe, and God got us home safely. So what do we say? We say, many are the tribulations of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. So that's all I can say about being sick. So unfortunately, sickness is a part of this life, and the further we get away from Eden, the more sin-tainted our lives become, and the more health-related challenges we will face, because Satan is nipping at every part of our body, not just our heels anymore, every part. But there is hope, and it's not in supplements or a healthy lifestyle or health retreats, even though these are very, very important. But it's not the end, and it's not the beginning, okay? The hope is found in our relationship with Jesus, because he's our Lord and Savior. Health comes from his mind taking over our thoughts, his actions becoming our actions, his desires replacing our selfish ones. This is health. Totally different from what we've been taught, is it not? But this is what true health is. We hope that the one who says he will carry us through any storm will do so. And this is what God has taught me through the illnesses that I have had and the death of loved ones. He will carry us through. Another personal testimony here is how it's not about me, it's all about God. Is for a while I've had issues with this part of my body. And the doctors and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And anyways, my husband and I, before all COVID started, we went to Florida. And we figured this will be our last time. And it was, because COVID came in. But that's okay. But it was unfortunate because I was sick. But God made it so that I became very sick at home. So 5 days, 5 days after we arrived home, I'm like, Paul, I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm really sick. So I was looking in my health books, trying to do things, you know, thinking that it was the same thing that was reoccurring. And I was dealing with it, and nothing was working. Nothing was working. So I went to the hospital, and they did some tests, and they thought it was the same thing I was dealing with. So I went home, and nothing happened. In fact, it got worse. And I don't know about you, but I can become very angry with God when he does not answer my prayers the way I want him to answer my prayers. And maybe that is childish or immature, but God is taking me on a journey. Anyway, so I said to him, I said, Lord, I can't pray to you asking you to heal me anymore because you're just not answering and I'm getting mad. And I don't want to be mad at you, Lord. So from this moment on, Lord, you do what you want to do with me. Oh, the pain didn't go away. In fact, it increased, okay? It was debilitating. I can remember being in the shower trying to do hydrotherapy, and I'm like, okay, this is not working. So the morning came, and we went to the hospital again, and they did a blood sample, and thank God, literally, thank God, he put the right doctor there because she did a blood test for my gallbladder, and she says, you need to get over to the Moncton Hospital and get an ultrasound ASAP. So I did. When I got the ultrasound, they said, you're not leaving here. You're getting operated on ASAP. So my gallbladder was, we'll just say, mush. Yeah, okay. So it had to come out. So I was very thankful. And there's many reasons why I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the pain that he gave me. Sounds silly, but I am. Because if I wouldn't have had that pain, I wouldn't have been able to go to my son's wedding. Because you see, this was May, mid-May. My son was getting married in June, at the end of June, all the way in BC. I needed time to recoup. And so you say, okay, well, you had plenty of time. Yes, but if I wouldn't have had that pain, they wouldn't have operated on me like a person from my husband's work. She went in with almost the same degree of pain as I did, and they told her, you'll have to wait till June to be operated on. So, you know, God is very good. Even when he gives us these little trial things to go through, you know, he allows these little trials for us to go through. I just praise his holy name. It was just wonderful. We just need to choose to serve him, you know? So we believe because he is believable. We have faith because he is faithful. We must walk the walk and talk the talk. His will must permeate every single cell of our body. And whether we live or die, we will have health. It might not be the type of health that we have been told to have, but we will have a health that is liberating and far-reaching into eternity. And this health is the freedom to love as Jesus loved. Of course, we all want to have healthy bodies, bodies that will be strong and able to withstand the fiercest storms. But what about our mind and the struggles that plague us on a daily basis? Are we healthy, truly healthy, when this is stressed? No, absolutely not. Let's take a moment and think about the mind. 90% of all diseases originate from the mind. That's quite a lot. The world says 70 to 80%, but Mrs. White in Councils on Health was saying 90, and I tend to agree with her because there's a lot of people who are out there suffering because of mental illness. And I'm not talking about, diseases of the mind. I'm talking about the struggles that we go through that affect our mind, the stress. So with this in mind, and there's no pun here, we need to refocus our usual way of doing and practicing health. We need to start treating the mind to some much-needed respite. When we understand the function and the role of the 8 laws of health in this way, one's well-being, one's health, will take on a new meaning and it will turn in a new direction. I'd like to take a moment and read this short article that I found online. It's actually not that short, but at the time I thought it was short, but it's really good. And I believe the person who wrote this, it's just from a scientific point of view. I don't think there's any religious attachment to it. So this person wrote, basically, disease is your body's way of saying that something is wrong when emotions, both conscious and subconscious, start to be mirrored on a biological level. A thought and a feeling creates the activation of neuronal pathways and changes in levels of neurotransmitters within the synapses of these neuronal pathways, which in turn affects the release of various body hormones. So negative emotions and stress can release glucocorticoids, catecholamines, a growth hormone, prolactin, etc., and lead to an imbalance. Prolonged serum levels of certain hormones can adversely affect the body's homeostasis and eventually impact the various organs and organ systems and can even lead to illnesses like cancer. Suppressed emotions don't just make your body more prone to internalize diseased mutations, but also makes you prone to diseases caused by external agents such as viruses, bacteria, etc., by weakening your immune system. So why do different individuals get different diseases? Well, the answer is somewhat connected to our genetic makeup. Negative and unspent emotions can impact our weakest point, where we are the most vulnerable. And this is why, for better health, it's vital to process and uncover repressed emotions. Therefore, you must remember, medicines or any form of alternative therapy do not work unless you do. Remember that word, work. Even if you are able to get rid of one kind of illness, if you don't acknowledge your emotions and thoughts, that might lead to an even worse condition in the future because your body is trying to make you listen to all those inner wounds, and those cries are going to get louder every time you try to suppress them. Therefore, there's no denying the very fact that healing starts in the mind. Just like Mrs. White was saying. You can begin by acknowledging your thoughts instead of ignoring them continuously and process them in a healthy way. And then she says, or he says, but you don't have to be hard on yourself because self-love is the key to heal. I don't know about self-love, but you know, we do need to love ourselves, but I'm not quite sure where this person was going with that. But anyways, to just a simple recap, healing needs to take place in the mind. If we're mentally unwell, we will be physically unwell. Now this, from Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2. In order to have perfect health, our hearts must be filled with hope and love and joy. And we know here that heart is not the pumping, you know, the blood pumping organ. It's defined as the area of the brain where we make choices, and that's in the frontal lobe. An interesting note here is that we cannot come up with hope, love, or joy. So we must be connected to the only one who can. So therefore, it is all about God. See the connection? Good health is all about God. We must also include faith here. In fact, this is according to Dr. Eldon Chambers, he wrote The Healing the Broken Brain. He says, when people exercise faith, their immune system rallies, wiping out destructive foreign invaders. At the same time, the faith-flowing neurochemical pathways shut down the pathways that would trigger debilitating doubt. Isn't it interesting? Faith-flowing neurochemical pathways. Were we designed? Yes, we were designed. So even if we didn't know all of the above technical information, we can have perfect mental health by filling our cups up with the fruit of the Spirit. The above scientific explanation was informative, but we didn't need to know it to be mentally fit. God has already told us in His Word, which we believe to be true. Right? Right. The heart of the mind is where we make choices. The choice to hope or to despair. The choice to love or to hate. The choice to be joyful or depressed, distressed, sad, miserable, the choice to forgive or remain bitter, the choice to heal or to stay hurt, and the choice to expect. Just a little caveat here. Expectations are choices, and expectations are horrible. We should never expect anything from anyone, not even our closest friend. It's truly not fair to anyone to have expectations placed on them. The only expectation that we can have that can truly nourish the mind and body is the knowledge that God loves us. Nothing else. We can expect this from Him. And we can hold Him accountable because His Word says so. We can't even expect God to act in a certain way. We must allow God to act in the way that He chooses to be correct for any circumstance. Along my journey, I have discovered that God, when we are new in the faith, will answer us in similar ways. It's kind of like He's establishing a trust relationship with us. But as we grow in faith, He weans us from this and helps us to understand that he will choose when and how he will answer our petitions. As the three Hebrews who were on their way to a fiery death stated, "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not," there's no doubt there, they're just letting God have the say in the matter. "But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." We must do the same. Understanding this and accepting this brings much freedom and health. It's God's prerogative on how he will answer our prayers. When I let go and I let God deal with my pain and just handle the situation, I wasn't angry. And anger is horrible for healing. But I wasn't angry. "You just do it, Lord." And he did. And he did something miraculous. A Dr. Herbert Benson said, "Our system, our body systems, are nourished or starved according to our expectations. Our beliefs can bring on the most undesirable bodily responses." Let's take a moment to see how truly incredible the brain is. You will leave here thinking, "Wow, this is amazing, and we are definitely wonderfully made." So the brain is comprised of approximately 100 billion nerve cells, 100 billion neurons. Our body has 30 trillion, some people say 50 to 100 trillion, but, you know, 1 trillion is, I can't even fathom that. So, 2, these nerve cells, 100 billion of them, transmit messages to other nerve cells constantly at rates of hundreds of messages per second. One nerve cell can communicate with 1,000 to 6,000 nerve cells at a time. So in essence, there can be anywhere from 100 trillion to 600 trillion messages firing through your body per second. Can you grasp that? I'm not able to. At any given moment, the brain responds to and interprets messages from 3 different sources: the environment, the body, and the brain itself. It's just incredible. From this information, I think we can all agree that we need to feed our minds with healthy spiritual food. Yes, physical food helps, but it's the spiritual food that sustains. Remember Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights? What kept him going? Just imagine the effect of one negative thought. This one thought makes a chemical which can communicate with 1,000 to 6,000 nerve cells. Think of the damage that can do. Over time, these negative thoughts, if left unchecked, will produce neural pathways, neural connections, that will produce automatic responses. All of our life events and emotions have neurosignatures, which are shorthand notations the brain stores and recalls. If your thoughts are mostly negative, eventually disease can set in. I can remember talking to a pastor years ago about the effects of stress on one's health, and I told him, "Honestly, it doesn't really matter how physically healthy you are. If your mind is going crazy all the time with no breaks to relax and heal, you truly aren't as healthy as you perceive yourself to be." And again, I'm not taking away from the 8 laws of health, eating nutritious food and exercising and sunshine and water and fresh air. I'm not taking away from that at all. So we can get so caught up in right doing that we forget about doing right. Let's now take a brief look at the 8 laws of health from a brain, a mind perspective, and its effects on the body. I always like putting trusting in God first. I don't like it at the end, because that's what we should be doing first and foremost, trusting in God. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, we read, "Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your paths straight and smooth." One can say that these obstacles are not physical ones, but mental or emotional ones. When we let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, we are acknowledging that his mind can handle all things. Ours can't. Forgiving others, hurt, bitterness, envy, jealousy, you name it, Jesus heals. Sunshine. What does sunshine do for us? Well, it prevents seasonal affective disorder, premenstrual syndrome. I'm sure you men all appreciate that when we go out in the sun. And yeah, sleep disorders, elevates the sense of well-being, therefore warding off depression and other serious diseases like dementia, Alzheimer's, and schizophrenia. It's also good for boosting the immune system. And who does not benefit from a sunny day, especially after many days of rain, or even one day of rain, when you can't get out and do what you wanted to do? Nutrition. A healthy, well-balanced food plan provides the brain with all the essentials it needs to keep mental illnesses at bay. By limiting inflammatory foods, like the sugary foods, the processed foods, the junk foods, one's mood and mental energy levels will be increased. Keeping the diet simple, that's whole food and plant-based, is the best for us, because this is what he ordained in the beginning, is it not? Exercise. The benefits of exercise come directly from its ability to reduce insulin resistance, reduce inflammation, and stimulate the release of growth factors, chemicals in the brain that affect the health of brain cells. Remember the 100 billion of them? The growth of new blood vessels in the brain, and even the abundance and survival of new brain cells. Indirectly, exercise improves mood and sleep and reduces stress and anxiety. Problems in these areas frequently cause or contribute to cognitive impairment. Many studies have suggested that the parts of the brain that control thinking and memory, that's the prefrontal cortex and the medial temporal cortex, have greater volume in people who exercise versus people who don't. And we're talking about cardiovascular exercises here, though all exercise is very good for us. Rest. When quality sleep is achieved, the sleep hormone melatonin and the growth hormone somatotropin are secreted. Melatonin plays an important role in one's outlook on life and one's mood. Become sleep deprived and you will notice that your mood is not as pleasant as it usually can be, right? Or perhaps your tolerance level has significantly decreased and tears come much faster than if you are not sleep deprived. You also could get angrier faster. Having a day of rest allows your body to reconnect with the great physician, and studying God's word fills us with hope, which in turn gives us endurance to finish the race. Water. Water helps the body to naturally replenish its supply of the neurotransmitter serotonin, which keeps depression at bay. It's also needed for the production of melatonin, and we just read in the previous one how important melatonin is for the body. A well-hydrated brain is continuously energized to imprint new information in its memory banks. 7, fresh air. Negative ions are negatively charged molecules that float in the air, and they are there for us to inhale and rejoice in. Negative ions increase the flow of oxygen to the brain, which results in higher attentiveness, higher alertness, decreased drowsiness, and more mental energy. Negative ions are found in abundance in evergreen forests. And Pastor Dave, you were talking about the child in the lost forest, or what? That's right. And that he's talking about nature therapy, forest bathing. And I can't remember his name, but he's very, do you remember his name? No? Okay. It's very important to be out. In fact, I think it's Japanese, it's called Shimrin Yoku, and that means forest bathing. And they actually, in 1980-something, they mandated like a holiday for you to go out and get into the fresh air, something like that. But if you want the information, I did do a presentation for the SDACC, and it should be on their site soon. And Daniel Saw is not here right now because I was going to ask him, but I know he's working on it. It's very interesting how the negative ions that God put there for us and we could benefit are found in the forest, and he tells us to get outside and get fresh air. Also, the negative ions are found near the ocean, waterfalls, and after a rainstorm, especially after a thunderstorm, which we're having tonight, by the way, so we can all benefit. Temperance, balance, self-control, moderation. By purposing in our hearts the area of the brain that makes choices, like Daniel of the Bible did, to avoid altogether harmful products or activities and to use a common sense when it comes to everything else. Boundaries that are in place are a safeguard for a healthy mind. Too much or too little, except when we're trusting in God, can be harmful. God wants us to use his wisdom, which he will give to us freely, so that we can make proper choices and therefore benefit immensely. Children who grow up with healthy boundaries are healthier and feel safer because they know where they stand and they know, most importantly, that they are loved. Life is a journey of health, one that, when done according to our Father's will, prepares us for the life to come. We are pilgrims and we're not settlers, and this should be our goal. If we can remember that specific thoughts will generate specific patterns of brain activity, and some patterns are helpful and others are detrimental to sound health, then we need to bring every thought into captivity. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations," I read this as, "Don't mind read," "and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And another good quote is found in Proverbs 23, verse 7. "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The health-generating thoughts are the ones that need to be kept, and the other ones discarded. Why keep unhealthy thoughts when they are designed to destroy? We know where these thoughts originate, and he only wants our demise. So what happens when we let chronic stress and negative thoughts affect the body? In the brain, chronic stress can lead to poor concentration, low mood, personality changes, and it may even damage brain cells. We can experience anxiety, depression, and obsessing. In the mouth, we can get ulcers, dryness, speech impediments. In the reproductive organs, stress can cause recurrent infections for both men and women, problems with getting pregnant, giving birth, and disrupted menstrual cycles for women, impotence and premature release for men. In the muscles, negative emotions and thoughts are stored as tension, which can lead to spasms, chronic pain, fatigue, tics, and tremors. In the skin and hair, eczema can set in, acne, psoriasis, hair loss, baldness, and perspiration. In the lungs, it can trigger asthmatic attacks, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, dizziness, lightheadedness. In the heart, negative thoughts can increase your heartbeat. The excess of cortisol and adrenaline production can lead to high blood pressure and other cardiovascular diseases. In the digestive tract, blood flow can be redirected away from digestion, increased acid production, which then leads to increased inflammation throughout all of the body. You could have indigestion, ulcers, IBS syndrome, heartburn, gallbladder stones, kidney stones, and the least of these would be butterflies. And excess cortisol and adrenaline can lead to high cholesterol levels, adrenal fatigue, low thyroid, and a host of other issues. Too much stress can lead to serotonin deficiency. Remember, that's the precursor to melatonin, and we need melatonin. And this can lead to negative thinking. Serotonin, or 5-hydroxytryptamine, improves mood, sleep, and gastrointestinal function. And here we can see quite noticeably the relationship that exists between the mind and the gut. The vagus nerve passes all this information between the two, whether it's good information or whether it's bad. Excess stress depletes natural dopamine stores and creates a ripple effect on nearby endorphins. And these endorphins are necessary to prevent pain and maintain good mood. Dopamine is the feel-good reward system in the brain. It drives us to succeed. It helps us to stay focused by tuning out the noise. We need it for concentration and motivation. When this is low and we notice that we aren't functioning the way we used to, we become distraught, we become overwhelmed, and we become depressed. And then a vicious cycle could occur. We need to remember that good and sound health originates with God. Does he want us to take charge of our health by doing everything that we can to be physically fit? Of course he does. He wants us to eat nutritious foods, to exercise responsibly, to drink clean water, to rest. But Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24 tells us what he really wants from us, and that is, the steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path. When he falls, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand and sustains him. The steps of a good, righteous man are ordered and established by the Lord. We know that man's goodness only comes from God. Again, God and health. You can't separate the two. And when this man's journey caused him to stumble, like we're told we're going to stumble, we don't have to worry, because the Lord will carry us through every single storm. Amen. Healing can only come by God's word, through the promises that it contains, through the surrender and obedience to his conditions. And it takes effort and courage to remain focused on God, especially in the times that we are living. But God will be with us every step of the way. His word tells us so. So we have nothing to worry about. Remember that it's all about God and what he has done, is doing, and will do in our life. It has absolutely nothing to do with us. We just need to purpose in our heart to choose, to make the decision, however you want to say it, to follow him whithersoever the shepherd leads. He wants to grow his family in health. Are we willing to allow him? I really hope we are. We're going to conclude with a practical application. Our minds must be focused on God, otherwise we're going to fall into many traps of deception. We'll be talking about belief versus misbelief in a later presentation, but now I'd like to do a simple exercise to encourage healing to begin right now. It's just something for you to think about. The method that I'll be using is called truth therapy, and this is biblical. If you want to Google it, truth therapy is biblical. It's based on God, the truth, the only truth. So we're going to deal with the misbelief in anxiety. Most anxieties are related to four major areas of life. They are exaggerated and generally needless. Fearing of making a mistake in public. You think I have that today? 2, fear of upsetting or making someone angry. Fear of losing love. Fear of physical pain and death. And I could tell you, for me, I have all four of those. I'm sure other people might have 1 or 2 or 3. What other people think of me is an essential theme that runs through the misbeliefs and anxiety. Oh, by the way, God is working on me. I'm not going to have those anxieties anymore. Just letting you know. Okay. So what other people think of me is an essential theme that runs through the misbeliefs and anxiety. It's so very central, in fact. So you say, I must anticipate it in advance. All of my actions. I have to be aware. I have to be prepared. Just imagine the stress level you have, how tense you would be if you always have to be in the fight or flight mode all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's too stressful for us. And the other one is, I must do all I can in order to prevent others from thinking badly of me. If they think badly of me, it would be a mortal blow. It would be terrible, horrific, dreadful, awful, shocking, appalling. So having these types of thoughts are very destructive to having good health. However, looking at this from a biblical perspective, we find that Jesus never told us to go out and take a course on how to get people to like us. Instead, he told us to love him, to trust him, to have faith in him, to glorify him, and then, once we do all that, we'll be able to genuinely care about others. So the philosophy that says you should be liked and appreciated by one and all is not only ridiculous, it's not biblical. If you are learning techniques to please, influence, persuade, or manipulate people, what do you think your motives are? Are you saying to yourself that you must be important to someone, that you must be liked and be accepted? What happens when your musts aren't fulfilled? Suppose people still don't particularly like you after you work so hard to get their approval. Suppose somebody actually dislikes you and outwardly rejects you. What then? I think of Jesus, don't you? A man despised and rejected of men, and yet he still went ahead and died for all. He was not in it for himself. When we are about our Father's business, which should be the very theme of our life, we need to allow the Father to manage his business, and he will. So what is anxiety? Anxiety covers a large number of behaviors, including cognitive activities such as worrying, fretting, and obsessing, as well as the physiological reactions of stress, the dry mouth, the perspiring, rapid heartbeat and respiration, dizziness, lightheadedness, tremors, butterflies in the stomach, tense muscles, having the need to go to the washroom before you're in confrontation with people. One, it's having the fear in the absence of real danger. Two, it is the overestimation of the probability of danger and exaggeration of its degree or of terribleness. And three, it is imagined negative results. The fear of fear consumes anxiety-ridden people. Anxiety brings such tension and stress that it becomes self-fulfilling. We're going to go through some common misbeliefs, otherwise known as lies, and maybe you can make a mental note or even write some down which apply to you, so you can go over them prayerfully later and make a change. Okay, let's see. So here are some common examples of anxiety misbeliefs. He or she might not like me. Oh, that would be terrible. I might not be able to meet people's expectations of me. That would be awful. I might be rejected. That would be dreadful. I might fail. Oh no, that would be devastating. I might say or do something dumb. That would be terrible. Once I've gained happiness, I might lose it. Oh, that would be destructive. Once I've gained love, I might lose that too. That would be frightful. I might not look as good as other people. That would be the worst. He or she might not approve of me. That would be terrible. He or she might discover what a nothing I really am. That would be awful. Nobody will ever love me. That would be the end. I might be a terrible lover. That would be embarrassing. I might get hurt. Oh, that would be awful. I might be asked to do something I don't know how to do. That would be unthinkable. I might lose everything I have. That would be devastating. I could die. That would be terrible. Saying these comments out loud shows their real colors. In fact, my husband and I had a little fun as I was practicing. But you know, living them, it's another experience altogether. It's not that funny. We can all get so caught up in the moment that we forget who is in charge of the moment. Remember that in reality, we create our own anxiety. It's not a situation or event. You are the one, I am the one, telling ourselves that something terrible will occur. Our self-talk needs to change. It needs to inspire hope, not extinguish it. Life will always have inconveniences, unpleasant circumstances, uncomfortable trials, events, tribulations. There will always be sadness, frustration, and tears. To think otherwise is a misbelief that will only cause much harm. For Jesus has forewarned us in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation." He didn't say you might. He said you will have tribulation. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We need to tell ourselves that even though things may be unpleasant, we can live through it without falling apart at the seams. And things are only as unpleasant as we tell ourselves they are. And how can we be certain that we can live through this? It says so in God's word. We have his promise. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So the two major misbeliefs in anxiety are, if the thing I worry about were to happen, it would be terrible, awful, destructive, horrible. Even though the likelihood of the terrible happening to me is utterly remote, I believe it's actually inevitable. So what do we do when we are faced with these feelings of anxiety, these anxious thoughts? Well, we need to stop ourselves. And when we ask God to be with us, he will remind you, "Haha, you're in anxiety mode. Stop now." So we need to ask ourselves two questions. What am I telling myself? What's so horrible? What's so terrible? What's so destructive? And two, Will the results really be as terrible as I'm telling myself they're going to be? But before we can do that, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to always bring it to light, always give us the discernment, the understanding, the correct understanding when we ask ourselves these two questions. And the more we do it, the easier it will become, and before you know it, you will not be anxious about those concerns anymore. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to tell ourselves the truth, hence truth therapy. And we need to listen to the words that we tell ourselves, our self-talk, and then we need to choose to fight back with the power of God's truth. If and only if we want to be free from all these lies that we have learned along the way, from all these lies that cause us to be unhealthy. We must always remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus did not live to please people. He lived to please God. Jesus was never devastated by what other people thought of him. Why? Because he kept his eye on the things above, always doing his Father's will. And we're almost done. In The Desire of Ages, page 330, we read, "He was never elated by applause, nor dejected by censure or disappointment. Amid the greatest opposition and the most cruel treatment, he was still of good courage." Are we still of good courage all the time when tribulations confront us? I know I'm not. But many who profess to be his followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they are afraid to trust themselves with God. They do not make a complete surrender to him, for they shrink from the consequences that such a surrender may involve. Unless they do make this surrender, they cannot find peace. It's in our hands. All we need to do is choose. Whoops. I'm missing a slide, but that's okay. Nobody has the power over you to make you miserable, to make you unhappy, depressed, anxious, angry, terrible, devastated, awful, even the good things, happy, elated, joyful. Nobody has that power. You are in control, for the choice is all yours. Now choose. And that's it. So I hope this little experience, this little exercise has opened your eyes to some of the misbeliefs that we might be telling ourselves. It did for me, and I thought it would be very appropriate to share. So thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, and I'm really sorry about the confusion. Everything is so weird. We're supposed to be eating at 5, which is just a couple of minutes, and they had to rush their program, which was amazing. So we're going to try for 4 again tomorrow, or that's okay? Okay, 4 o'clock tomorrow, and 3 o'clock for the family ministries. Thank you again, and God bless. Oh, we need to pray. My husband just went like this. Thank you, Paul. Yes. Lord, you are holy and great and awesome, and I'm elated right now because I'm done and you are with me. Thank you, Father, for your goodness towards all of us, Lord. I pray that we will all be blessed as we continue to learn more about your truths that you want for us so that we can grow God's family, your family, for an eternity, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.